It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Go Bills, for we are here to cheer for you. Go Bills, we are your fans so true. With victory in sight, we'll yell with all our might. So go Bills, fight, Bills, go. Come on, let's win for Buffalo. Go Bills, we're with you. Fight Bills, we're with you. Go Bills, let's win this game. We'll raise up all our voices high. A Bills team spirit will not die. So go Bills, fight Bills, go. Come on, let's win for Buffalo.
Go Bills, hey, it's a good day. I got to sing along with Meatloaf and Marv Levy on the show this morning. So that's a good day. All right, we need to go at 10 o'clock right to kickoff. I think I'm not going to be able to sustain this energy to Sunday night. I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of peaking a little too early on the show this morning, I think.
Well, I want to mention real quick, 26 Shirts just posted their, shirt to remember the perfect game there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really a good shirt. A little spoof of the Just Say No program.
Yeah.
Just Say No, and next is his punts and field goals, fourth downs, turnovers, and remorse. Just perfect with
remorse?
The date. No remorse.
That's No. Yeah.
It's a nice job there from the folks at 26 Shirts.
We're going to get your calls here in a moment.
My camera back on here. Okay.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you got to get your – there you go. Did you get a haircut?
No, that's today.
Going to see the flow? I see the curls in the back.
No, it's a lot. A lot.
Holy moly. It's like when we remember when there was one year when the Sabres were good, and they were in the playoffs, and we all did the no shave thing. We did the playoff beards. Mm-hmm. It's like you did a playoff hair, and you just had, you know, since the Bills ended the drought, you haven't gotten a haircut, like something like that.
That's been a while.
That's some flow back there.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get to your calls in a moment, so don't go anywhere. We have some lines open for the first time in an hour. If you want to get through, great. 803-0550. We are talking Bills Chiefs with you. I got a stat of the day I wanted to get to. And again, we are live on the WGR Facebook page for this hour, and it is brought to you by Value Home Center. So quickly, I was looking at these numbers because we were thinking about, you know, you think about the offense for Kansas City, what the Bills have to do. Kelce, Hill, Kelce, and they have other weapons, but those are the two big guys. I'm all about Kelce in this game. I know I said it, and I was with Murph, too. Like, it could come back to haunt me. I'd be more worried about Kelce than Hill. And Hill will go have a game like that against the Eagles, where he had, like, 4,000 yards receiving. Kelce. So I was curious, Jeremy. All right, these two guys, what are the numbers? What have they done in the postseason with Patrick Mahomes? So 9 playoff games under Patrick Mahomes. Kelce has hit the 100-yard mark 6 times in 9 games, including the last 4 straight. He did it against Pittsburgh. He did it against the Bills last year. So 600-yard games, 9 touchdown catches in 9 games for Kelce. Hill, 3 100-yard games and 3 touchdown catches in 9 games. Now, it's a little bit skewed because, let's face it, in the red zone, Kelsey's a massive weapon. Hill is going to be more of either an over-the-top touchdown or maybe you throw him a short pass and, you know, someone blows the coverage and he runs all the way downfield. So it's a little skewed to Kelce in terms of the touchdowns. But he looks to Kelce a lot in the playoffs. He targets him a lot. He's had multiple 10-plus target games. Last year against the Bills in the AFC Championship, they targeted Kelce 13 times. So I don't know if it's Milano or Poyer or a combination of those guys or whatever they do with combo coverage. But, you know, keeping Kelce from going bananas crazy Sunday night, I think, is a huge thing for the Bills defensively in this matchup. So there's a little bonus stat today. All right, let's get back to some calls here, and we'll get connected with our fans. We'll start in Cheektowaga. Willie, you're on Football Friday on WGR. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Howard. Thanks, Jeremy. Great show. I'm going to start with the defense. I think it's going to be in the trenches, of course. I say, you know, instead of getting a really good, great pass rush, I say just keep him in the pocket, get your arms up, because I see a lot of sidearm with him, a lot of low passes, almost, you know, he has a couple underhand passes. And it's funny you said that, Howard, about Kelce. I think if you chip him at the line as much as you can, I mean, if you could just hit him, just get him off his balance a little bit, I think that would help a lot, because I think Kelce's the key for them. Offensively, I think we open some holes for the running game. We keep Allen clean in the pocket and just pound them. I think we win this game 31-24. I'll hang up and listen.
That's pretty close. You're in my neighborhood with predictions. I was thinking like 31-27 driving in this morning. Yeah. I was trying to get a score in my head.
But is it a comfortable 31-27 or a nervous one?
No.
Like there's 31-27 where you score with 30 seconds left.
Right.
And then there's 31-27 where the Chiefs score with 2 minutes left and try an onside kick and don't get it. You know, one's a lot more stressful. You're trailing. Are the Bills going to be – are they going to win it late?
No. They're going to have a lead and be holding on in the fourth quarter, coming up with a key stop to hold on to a lead.
That sounds terrible.
You're funny. Yeah, look, with Kelce, sure. He's so hard to stop. I'm chip him. Sure, absolutely. Be as physical as you want. I'm sure everybody tries that. But he's big, he's tough, he's strong, he can get through that stuff. And, you know, you do your best to sidetrack him a little bit or throw off the timing of his route. To the pass rush, you know, it's interesting, too. Remember, the last time they played, I said to Jeremy earlier, I was looking up my notes from the game in Week 5. The last time the Bills played, they blitzed Patrick Mahomes 0 times.
Yeah,
on 56 dropbacks.
The number is in their 3 games with Mahomes. They just don't blitz him.
No. And you shouldn't. So I think, you know, it's, you know, someone, you were talking about the pass rush. Russo had a big game that day in Week 5. Jerry Hughes, you know, if Addison plays, it's almost rush to get pressure and contain because you're probably not getting sacks and you're probably not blitzing. So you need those guys just to kind of keep them in there and try and get some pressure on him.
The number on this, Josh Cohen of NFL on CBS, 9 blitzes. In 144 snaps.
Yeah, that's a really low. I don't know what the math is, but it's a really low percentage. Yeah, so I wouldn't expect the Bills to change that part of their game plan. But and the caller's right too. You know, he can make crazy arm angle throws. He can do all these different things. But you have to obviously make sure. You know, I didn't look at his actual run attempts. I don't think he runs as much as Josh does. But he certainly has the ability to break contain or to make something out of nothing when there's nobody open and it appears the play is broken down. He also said, Mahomes said something this week too about how he's been running in the middle more. Like when they're sitting back and they're playing too deep, it seems like a lot of the runs he's been able to, the success he's had when he does scramble is more to the middle of the field. Now, I don't know if that's something the Bills will be able to keep an eye out Sunday night or not. Let's see. We're going back to get connected with our fans because we want to talk to all of you about the Bills and the Chiefs on this lovely, chilly Friday. Derek in South Carolina, you're on WGR on Football Friday. Go right ahead.
Hey, man. Love this guy's show, man. Love everything you guys say. I'm just worried about our two coaches that we got, Brian Gable and Leslie Frazier. I mean, I love both of them. I don't want them being distracted about, you know, because, you know, we're going to lose one of them, I think. And my second thing is, how about Gabriel Davis, man? You think he's going to be a big-time player in this Kansas City game? Because he's just playing ball, man. He's just really, really playing ball for Josh Allen. And I just want to get your take on that.
Sure. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's funny. I was just looking up on my screen, and there's a story from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, a tweet about how Dable is a person of interest in the Giants' talks with the GM candidates. I mean, he would be if Joe Shane gets the job. There was a story. The Giants writer from ESPN.com said that, you know, apparently Shane and Dable are really close, that if Shane gets the job, the logical leap would be that they would bring in Brian Dable. But Dable also has some kind of relationship with one of the other three guys that's a finalist, because they would have overlapped in New England at some point.
He's the favorite for the Bears job.
Dable is the favorite.
Yes.
Or Frazier. Okay, I thought Frazier was getting a lot of play in Chicago. I think, honestly, if I were Miami, I'd be thinking Dable for Miami to try and do something with Tua Tagovailoa in that offense.
I've said it a couple times to you, I think the Giants is a good idea for him. With Daniel Jones, and everyone seems to tie Trubisky to Dable. Wherever he goes, he'd bring Trubisky.
Yeah,
maybe for competition. I mean, if you're Brian Dable, you've coached Josh Allen the last 4 years. I think you're gonna know you need a Josh Allen or someone that's, you know, got a ceiling that might be higher than Trubisky. But Trubisky could, of course, come in and mind the store and understand a lot of your concepts and your system pretty well. So I think it's a reasonable thing to kind of connect the two. but I don't know that it would be a long-term plan.
What do you think about Davis? I would say I'm not expecting him to have a big game. Look, they're going to go for Diggs, right? He's got to be the main target in this game. I think Knox can be a really big factor, especially in the red zone. They might be a little banged up at nickel corner. That could open the door for Beasley or McKenzie, by the way, if they're sharing snaps in the slot. I don't think Davis is having a big game on Sunday. I think there are other weapons that would have more targets and more catches before I got to Gabe Davis in this game Sunday night.
Yeah. I wonder that very specific red zone RPO play that they love so much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
They ran it against the Panthers. They ran it against the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's a consistent red zone thing that they do.
Let's get more calls in. We got a couple lines open as we talk Bills Chiefs with you. Hang on a second here. It's not good to have the shakes when you're moving the mouse. Mike in Maryland, welcome. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Great to be on. You know, we all have a feeling this is going to be a very high-scoring game. The Bills, in my opinion, are going to have to be very aggressive on fourth down because giving the ball back to Mahomes, he's a scoring machine himself. So field position may not be as important. So I'm suggesting a new wiggle on short yardage, using Dawson Knox, lining him up behind Josh, and having him take some handoffs on short yardage. He's a battering ram, man. He's back there also. If Josh actually goes, and many times he does sneak, having this battered a snowball behind Josh can help as well. Have you noticed also, guys, that the refs are letting linemen push running back?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been doing it all season. Everybody has. Everybody just kind of hops in and shoves the guy forward. I wouldn't do it. I think, honestly, if it's short yardage, you have Josh. Singletary's been running really hard.
Still have Moss.
Moss. Gilliam can be in there as a blocker to help out. I would not hand the ball off to Dawson Knox in short yardage, personally. But I'm with you on the other point. I think that is one of the keys. Jeremy, you brought it up earlier in the week. You were citing the fourth down field goals in the AFC Championship last year. I do think one of the storylines is how does Sean McDermott coach this game? Because I don't think, sometimes you can say points are good, touchdowns, field goals, whatever. Give me more points, field position, I'm punting it here, all that other stuff. I think that would be a mistake. I think it is about touchdowns. It's about not maintaining the ball because you're keeping Mahomes off the field, but to keep drives going to get touchdowns instead of settling for field goals. I think that's really big, and I don't have an answer for you, so we're kind of wait and see. But I think that is really important Sunday night. What is McDermott doing when it gets to some of these clutch decisions? Appreciate the call. Quick note before we get to the next caller. Tomorrow, we have a Sabres game at 1 o'clock. They're taking on Philadelphia tomorrow. In the pregame show, Brian Colziel will be chatting with Sabres GM Kevin Adams. A little mental note there, folks. That will be at 12:10 tomorrow afternoon during the Sabres pregame show here on WGR. Let's get out to Denver next. Randy, you're on Football Friday. Go right ahead.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, thanks for calling.
I heard you mentioning earlier about one or two calls in the game might decide the game. Oh, we'll talk about it later, but people forget the way that game ended last year was nuts with Josh throwing the ball at Okafor's head and Chris Jones getting away with murder the whole day, taking advantage of Josh, and then 2 weeks later in the Super Bowl, suddenly the refs were calling it, and Chris Jones was exposed for what he was. He's a great player, but he's a thug. I see him play all the time in Denver. Obviously, the guy, they're going to try to take advantage of that, so I'm just hoping that something like that doesn't come up to bite us because tremendous player, but he's a cheap shot artist.
Yeah, last year's game got a little chippy at times, right? Tempers were
definitely a little high. It definitely did. I mean, yeah. Allen threw the ball at the guy's helmet, and Dawkins got in there. Last year, it felt like the game got away from the Bills emotionally.
Yeah.
They knew, especially the offense, knew they were treading water and not surviving. Like, you could tell.
And they were getting frustrated, probably.
Right. And when McDermott said those 3 points, they needed them to feel better right before the half.
Yes.
I think it might have had he knows the team better, of course, but I think it might have had the opposite effect of we're not going to get back like this. They kicked a field goal down 12 on fourth and short. They kicked field goals twice.
Yeah.
From inside the 10. And you and then the Chiefs would answer. And they answer with a touchdown to go up 19. Like you knew it wasn't going your way. You were struggling in a big way. And I think it got away from them a little bit emotionally. So I don't know if that'll happen this time. You know, this time it's not the vaunted Chiefs the same way. We've talked about that a lot, how they already won in that stadium. They have beaten this team, and they handled them quite well. So hopefully, you know, any sort of cheap shot stuff maybe doesn't get them off their game as much.
We are taking your calls. We have phone lines open. One more segment with us that you can talk about the game at 803-0550. Of course, Sal and Joe are coming up with the Extra Point Show at 10. Reminder, they will be joined by Bills head coach Sean McDermott around 10:35. Stay tuned for that. And if you haven't checked this out yet, you got a little more time to see our smiling faces and Jeremy's monster beard and giant flow at our Facebook page. We are live on the WGR Facebook page, and that is brought to you by Value Home Centers, your hometown team.
Done a nice job. I'm close to Sean, and he's done a great job of building that along with his general manager and the assistant coaches and their players. You know, they and we understand that indirectly as a compliment to our guys for putting themselves in that position where teams are trying to get you. And they did a nice job with it the last time we played. Very well coached, and they played very well.
There's Chiefs coach Andy Reid. So he was responding to a question from the Kansas City media that basically said, so, coach, what does it say about you guys when you hear the narrative out of Buffalo this past offseason that, you know, the Bills have got to make moves to beat Kansas City, or they're, quote, being built to beat Kansas City? And that's what Reid had to say about that yesterday, or whatever day it was. Maybe it was Wednesday when he spoke to me. I don't remember. 803-0550 to join us. Going to get to your calls. We got lines open if you want to get in as we talk everything Bills Chiefs with you. Tim tweeted in. We were talking earlier, one of the many things we were talking about, the three key guys on the Bills for Sunday night outside of Josh Allen. Tim said Knox on offense, then Poyer and Hyde on defense. Those three guys are the ones who I believe will be the key to the Bills' victory. Don't forget, coverage starts actually Sunday morning at 11 with Sports Talk Sunday. Countdown to kickoff at 1, or excuse me, game day at 1 with Jeremy and Nate. Countdown to kickoff at 3, 6:30 game. Weather's not a problem. Post game, which show up with the Bulldog, overtime after that, and we're back Monday morning at 6. All right, you're all caught up. Let's go and get connected with our fans, and we'll get out to Lockport. DJ, thanks for holding on. You're on Football Friday. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Howard, this is some nostalgia. When I was a kid, I used to love watching the old simulcast, and it's kind of cool seeing you guys back on my TV while I'm listening to you on the radio. But so I know the coaches from KC, I guess there's this narrative, a bunch of quotes coming out about, you know, that whole mantra of hitting Josh Allen like a running back.
Yep.
Jeremy, you were mentioning about how the cornerbacks or the linebackers have to make that decision in the moment when he's going to the left, whether to release the receiver or, you know, and go after Josh or vice versa. I think them talking about this is a huge let for them, what they're going to be doing. I mean, guys like Gay he's escaping me now, Ingram, I think it is. If that's the case, they're going to be kind of coached to enhance or, in fact, release off of the receivers. Guys like McKenzie and Knox going through the middle, that might be a big bust for them to even talk about that right now. It should have been held close to the chest, because I think that's going to be a big part of our game, misdirection. Josh going to the right, obviously, is deadly. Now going to the left of those RPO plays, there's going to be a lot of open downfield plays, I think, with them having literally talked about trying to hit Josh Allen. Guys are going to go after him, and ideally that's going to be a big good for us. So I'll hang up and listen. Good show. And real fast, actually, the defensive line, I feel like Oliver is a huge part of this game also. I think our edge rushers are going to get into him, but if we get that pressure up the middle and not let Mahomes sneak out of the pocket like he usually does, it's going to be a long day for him. So I'll hang up and listen, and again, good show, guys.
Yeah, Oliver and Harrison Phillips, of course, the two of them have had a really strong month, right?
Yeah, at least more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been a big part of it, of what they've done. So credit to them. On the thing about the you know, what the Chiefs are going to do, I don't think saying they're doing that is really revealing much. I mean, right. Like, that's pretty much the game. When they roll him out, you put defenders in a tough spot. If the play I mentioned earlier was New England, one defensive back went and covered the receiver, one got his ankles broken by Josh Allen. So I think what they might be talking about there, like hitting Allen, they might have a mission to make him pay for runs. He's not going to slide, guys. He's probably not going to slide. Make sure you get all of him.
Yeah.
When you hit him, we want you to get all of him.
I think that's what they meant. Treat him like a running back.
Mm-hmm.
Hit him.
That's hit him.
Yeah.
Hit him
hard. Be physical with him. Right.
Yep. That's what I think it means.
Like I have the quote from Tyrann Mathieu. I know he for sure was asked about this. I don't know, DJ, if that's who you're referring to or there are other guys, but I know Mathieu because thank you to ProFootballTalk.com, which actually transcribed the quote, saving the time of trying to paraphrase it. He was asked the other day about Allen's running ability, and he said he's a great athlete. He's obviously a guy that can make all the throws. Anytime he's using his legs, it seems like it's his advantage. Adds extra pressure on the guys that are covering, but it's pressure on the guys that are rushing him. Stay in their lanes. Don't let him break contain and get into the open field. And I think maybe this is the part, like the whole running back thing. Anytime he decides to tuck and run the ball, we have to treat him like a running back, treat him like one of these wide receivers. All 11 guys have to pursue and get to the ball. I think it's going to be one of those games where we're going to have to tackle him, and we have to tackle him well. So, yeah, I don't know that it was about a strategy. I think it was more of a mindset of defenders. When this guy runs, the whole thing about running back was it's not just a quarterback where maybe you throw one or two guys. Don't worry about it. One guy can bring him down. Treat him like a running back where you want to have multiple defenders, like swarm, get him down, wrap up your tackle, be physical, that type of thing, like a running back, as opposed to a strategical alignment or anything like that.
I'm going to read a comment on the Facebook page. Jeff writes in on our live Facebook page asking me, do you still think the season's a success based on winning the Patriots game only, as you stated earlier in the week? Yeah, I'm going to spend the whole season thinking that, offseason. Like, it doesn't mean that pack it in, the season was a success now, but if they lose this game and you're going to come on and tell me the season was a failure, I think it's going to be a tough sell. You could tell me they failed to reach some of their goals, but, you know, it's not this linear thing, and it's the toughest level of competition. If you lose to the Chiefs for a second straight year, it's a failure in that game, but I'm not about to walk around saying the season was a failure. You won a back-to-back division title. You won a home playoff game. You know, there are a lot of teams that had failed seasons. I can list 20 of them. Maybe not even 20. Maybe 10, right? Because, I don't know, the Eagles have a failed season. They probably feel pretty good about the way Jalen Hurts played.
And they made the playoffs when they didn't look like they were going anywhere.
You might have something to build on. So they will have failed to accomplish all their goals, but I will not be calling it a failed season if they lose to Kansas City.
I mean, it's going to be, I mean, obviously very disappointing. I mean, I expected this team to get to the Super Bowl, and I still expect them to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl or whatever. But, yeah, it'll be very disappointing because, again, you go from a certain expectation level and all of a sudden you fall short. Like, you don't even get back to where they were last year. Yeah, it's going to be really disappointing. But
right,
on the other hand, it doesn't mean
that's a failure, but it doesn't, I mean,
it doesn't mean you didn't build the wrong roster or anything, obviously. I don't think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, it'll be very disappointing. I don't know. Failure, in theory, if you don't win the Super Bowl, it's a failure. I thought this team would be good enough to win the Super Bowl. If they don't even get there, to me, I guess that's a failure. If Tennessee loses to Cincinnati at home tomorrow, they were the one seed.
Yeah.
That's a failure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you don't get to the game when you're supposed to be there in the mind of your fans. I guess everything short of that's a failure, quite honestly. So, but there's a difference between a failure and, okay, something's wrong. We got to fire this coach. We got to trade this guy. We've got a big hole here on the roster. Like, I would not look at that in the offseason because if they lost in the divisional round. Okay.
More
we're
calls?
Good. We get one more call in. Yeah. We'll go to Izzy in North Carolina. Izzy, you're on Football Friday.
He is in North Carolina.
Shoot, you just.
Hey, good. Yeah. 30 degrees here today.
Well, it's 8 here, so, you know, you got us tripled, more than that.
I know. But listen, on the defense, you know, when Kansas City gets in their red zone, they've used that shuttle pass a couple times.
Yep.
But the Washington, you know, the offensive lineman turns their back, you know, on the defense.
The offensive linemen are turning around on that shovel pass?
Sure.
Okay. I know they've used it. I haven't noticed what the linemen were doing.
Well, anyways, but that I want to intercept that. And when he throws that ball, I want somebody stepping in there to catch it.
You got
to
be aware of it. He does that. Yeah, I don't have numbers to back it up, but for sure I mean, when they're inside the five, that's a big weapon. He'll just take a have that snap out of shotgun or whatever, and just flip it forward to Kelce or whoever they like to use. That's I've seen that play a number of times with Kansas City down inside the five.
I was just thinking about shuffle passes because the Bills, the way they got a couple real successful plays against New England in the matchup at Gillette, the shovel to Diggs, the improvisation, whatever, and the one to Knox.
Knox, that was a touchdown, right?
Like, so those are like non-traditional shovels as the way that you know the Chiefs do them, more interior shovel passes, which those are pretty safe. I mean, you could say you'd like to step in and intercept them. It's pretty
hard
tough
to do.
It's pretty tough to get there. And if there's somebody nearby, like, I don't know, shovel passes don't exactly get intercepted all that frequently. I'm sure it's happened
before. Well, it's a quick play. It's so hard to get. You'd have to get somebody. I mean, if Kelce's, let's say Kelce's lined up to left, he just quickly goes in motion, comes across the line, snap, shovel. You got to get penetration. You got to get in. You got to get into the lane. You got to get that. It's really hard. How many times do you see a shovel pass picked off? Like if it bounces off a guy, maybe. But who the heck is there?
And
in
it's usually
in the,
so low.
The lane.
And even if it gets deflected, it goes to the ground. And that's why you throw it like that.
Right.
So
it's
it
not like he's throwing with his arm going up. He's just tossing it low. I think that's a really good weapon for them. So I'm sure the Bills are well aware of that. I obviously would have seen that on tape. So I don't think they'll be caught by surprise when they're down inside the five. Of course, Kansas City is never going to get inside the five. So I'm just kidding around. Yeah, the Bills are going to win in the shutout. Running game. Richard tweeted in, says motor will be the key. Devin Singletary. He needs to rip a few good runs early. Yeah, I don't have him as one of my top keys, but the way he's been running, yes, it is nice to have another weapon that Kansas City has to be aware of. Like, they know about Allen. They know about all the receivers. They know about Diggs and all the, Knox. But now you have to respect the fact that it's not just Allen running the ball. There's a running back who can do that. And Devin Singletary has been really effective. We know his stats, right? His carries have gone up. His touches have gone up. His yards per carry have gone up. He's going to say, what is it, like 8 touchdowns in the last 6 games? So he has turned out to be a very good threat in the running game. It doesn't mean they're going to run it 20 times with him. But when they decide to run the ball, it is something Kansas City has to plan for, has to respect, has to be aware of, rather than just selling all out against the pass and not worrying about anybody beating you, you know, out of the running backs, I should say. Of course, they'd still be worried about Josh's legs being a factor. And he ran the ball pretty good in that Week 5 game, too, I think. I got to go back and look at his numbers.
I had a stat passed along about the Chiefs overall against all running quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Nick sent this in. The defense is ranked 32nd in the NFL. Defending the quarterback run.
Wow.
According to expected points added. The worst team in the league defending the quarterback run. And if you watch them play Denver, you watch Drew Locke. He could not throw the ball effectively. Yeah. He still ran for a pair of touchdowns. One was like a 25-yarder. So they are not good defending the quarterback run.
And to the Bills' credit, you know, the whole discussion of what happened in Tampa and all this other stuff, hey, the Bills got to a point where it was like, okay, Josh, run. You know, and I'm one of those guys who said, be careful, he's the franchise quarterback, please don't expose him all the time. And I mean, I'm talking design runs, not just drop back, nobody's open, I'm running. They let Josh cook? He became, I think they were worried less about exposing him, and he ran, you know, he's running 10, 11, 12 times a game, scrambles, design runs, quarterback draws. The quarterback sweep has been a really good play for the Bills. They've been very effective getting Josh out there with blockers in front of him. So,
and they've been running that for years. I mean, they ran that in Houston.
Yeah.
They probably there was an illegal block called.
Okay, I thought the sweep was when he was like,
or maybe Tyler Kroft missed a block. There was one play. It's one of the millions of plays from that Houston game where if only they finished that.
You're right.
They would have won the game.
They missed a block downfield. Yeah.
Yep.
Might have been Kroft, but for sure it was a run to the right going down the far sideline, and they missed a block on the play. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Hey, here's the deal. So Joe and Sal are going to be in at 10 for the Extra Point Show. And I'm going to guess a lot of people are going to want to talk to them. So what you should try and do is get in early. Zach will get you on hold. You can reserve a spot so you can get in. And we've had some long hold times this morning. We thank everybody for being patient. But get in now and reserve your spot to talk to the folks on the Extra Point Show, 803-0550 for that. That has come up 10 to noon. And again, Sean McDermott scheduled to join them around 10:35. We are live on the WGR Facebook page, and that is brought to you by Value Home Centers, your hometown team.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Okay, so I follow this guy, Sal Capaccio, on Twitter. So he said Extra Point Show's coming up, 10 to noon. Sean McDermott, 10:35. Final KC weather check. Patrick Hammer coming up, 11:35. And there's a guy across the table from me right now. Looks a lot suspiciously like Joe DiBiase. So those guys are getting all ready to go. Hey, before you go, quick thing. It's cold out. It's going to be cold all day and tonight. Low tonight, overnight. A little bit of a minus one. Huh? How about that? Jeremy, get outside tonight. Bundle up. But tomorrow will be okay. It's going to get back into the low to mid-20s by the afternoon. And so there you go. So cold the rest of the day and overnight. Be aware of that. Oh, we're super late. My bad.
Huh.
Imagine that. You have anything else you want to say? Other than hopefully we're talking about a Bills win Monday when we're back?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your weekend, sir. And yeah.
Sorry, I forgot to turn the camera on.
You didn't comment on my shirt.
You know what this is?
No.
You know what that is?
I have no idea.
It's actually Max Verstappen's logo.
No kidding. Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay, right. MV.
It says, like,
yeah,
keep,
sure.
Keep pushing the limits. Or my wife got me this shirt for Christmas, so it's a Max Verstappen shirt.
I like that.
You know, it's the F1 off-season. We're still thinking about it, though.
There was a little bit of a rumor this week that maybe Lewis Hamilton wouldn't be back next season. So he hasn't announced that he's formally coming back next season to the circuit. So we're still waiting on that. And I think we're getting close to the cars being revealed for the upcoming season.
Did you guys watch your Tuck Rule special? Was that on or is that like
no,
in a
next,
week?
No, it's February 6th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll mark my calendar.
Mr. Skep Naysayer, Mr. Picking on Me. Go ahead. Go watch Man in the Arena all weekend.
You know what? If it meant the Bills would win, I would do it. If I could make the Bills win by watching all 10 episodes of that, I would do it.
But yeah?
Since I can't do that, I'm not going to watch it.
Thanks, yeah. All right, so have a good weekend, everybody. Stay tuned. Extra Point Show is on the way. We're back Monday morning at 6. Go Bills.